We hear again from the appointed reading of Mark 16. Afterward, Jesus appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining at table, and he rebuked them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who saw him after he had risen. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned." In the name of Jesus. There are some things in life that we just kind of assume, so we don't really need to talk about them. That's like the sun coming up in the morning. We don't need to go around reminding people that that will happen. Or if you drop a hot dog on the floor, the dog will eat it. Who needs to be told that? It's assumed. In the church, maybe we assume something too, because after all, we know it. We've learned it from childhood. It's, of course, the proclamation of the gospel. Jesus Christ crucified as your Savior. Jesus forgives your sin and cleanses your conscience. Jesus is resurrected from the dead, and his resurrection is your resurrection. We've learned this from childhood. We've heard the proclamation of the gospel in our family devotions. Our families repeat it each week in saying the creed at the Lord's service. It's all assumed, taken for granted, as sure as a dog eats the hot dog fallen to the floor. So we don't really need to keep saying it to one another as if we didn't already know it, except that we do. We do need to. In the church, it is the day of St. Mark the Evangelist. It comes on this day every year, so every now and then it falls on a Sunday. And in this, we learn something of the proclamation of the gospel in this account that Mark left for the church. So first, we know a little bit about Mark. He was a young man. He was not one of the 12 apostles. He came along, it would seem, in the latter part of Jesus' ministry. And Mark even seems to slip in a slight little reference about himself toward the end of his gospel. As Mark gives the account of the betrayal and arrest of Jesus at Gethsemane, and that is, of course, where Judas brings into the garden that group of thugs from the chief priests. They're wielding swords and clubs to arrest Jesus. It's where all the apostles then flee from Jesus out of fear, leaving him alone in the grip of Judas and the thugs. And Mark writes of a certain young man who was there, Mark 14:51. And a young man followed Jesus, and he had nothing but a linen cloth about his body, and they seized the young man, but he left the linen cloth and ran away naked. The other accounts don't have that. It seems Mark is giving a little glimpse of himself and how he fit into this. It's not flattering. Who would say that story about themselves? But maybe that's Mark's way of keeping our eyes on Jesus and his suffering, even as the disciples ran away in unbelief and abandoned. These disciples who belong to Jesus, the 12 apostles and the others such as young Mark, they were not men of impressive faith. They were sinners. They thought of themselves and their own safety. But they were cared for. They were brought back and restored. They were given the gift of faith again and again by the Lord who loved them and was on his way to the cross for them. But we should be clear, they were not men to impress us with their faith. So now in the text that we have before us, in the last chapter of Mark's gospel, closing it out, we hear again of their faith. It's after the crucifixion of Jesus, of course, after he's been raised up from the dead, and Jesus is preparing them for his ascension to heaven, where they will no longer see Jesus here on earth in the flesh. The apostles are gathered around the table, and Jesus appears. He's giving them last instructions before he ascends. But first, he rebukes them for having no faith. They had disbelieved that he would be resurrected from the dead, And then when he was resurrected, they disbelieved the reports of the witnesses who first saw him resurrected. With Jesus, though, it's all about his gospel for the sinner. It's all about faith. He wants no one left without the gift of faith for forgiveness. He wants no one left on their own, trusting in their own strength or their own worthiness or their own ability to justify themselves. So he rebukes them for not having faith in him and his resurrection. Mark 16:14. Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were reclining at table, and he rebuked them for their unbelief and hardness of heart because they had not believed those who saw him after he had risen. So we might want to ask, why did Jesus need to do this? Why did he need to rebuke them? Had they not heard the gospel enough times, many times before? Did they not already know of his cross, where he ransomed all sinners, and of his resurrection from the dead? With their own eyes, they had seen Jesus do things such as cleanse lepers. With their own ears, they heard him forgive sins again and again. They heard him call Lazarus out of the grave. They sat at table with him when he was on his way to death, and he gave his last will and testament, telling them to eat this bread and drink this wine, in which he was giving them his body and blood for the forgiveness of their sins. They were even at the cross. They saw it all. So what did they not know about the forgiveness of the gospel? They knew it all. Can this gospel not in some fashion be assumed? Do you need to tell a child again and again, as if telling a child that the family dog will eat the hot dog falling to the floor? We should think, maybe, that the gospel should be taken for granted. But it is not. The proclamation of the gospel is never assumed, because we still live in sinful flesh, and sinful flesh does not want the gospel. Sinful flesh wants to justify self by its own works and feelings and decisions. And we're still afflicted by the demons. And the demons do not want us to live confident in the grace of Christ Jesus. So they daily tempt us to doubt our Lord, to doubt that he's faithful in his promise to us. And we live, of course, in our sinful world. And our sinful world does not want to live by the free gift of the gospel. But the sinful world wants to control everyone by the law. So when Jesus appears to the 11, he does not assume the gospel. He knows their sinful flesh. He knows the affliction of the demons. He knows the sinful world they live in. So he does not assume their faith. He doesn't assume the gospel. It's not taken for granted. He rebukes them for their unfaith. He calls them back from their unbelief in his promise. And then he once again gives the gospel, as he's done with them so many times before. Jesus said, "Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned." Mark 16:16. The gospel to be proclaimed is the forgiveness of sins in Christ Jesus. The gospel to be proclaimed is the promise given the sinner in baptism. The gospel is never assumed, but it is given to the sinner again and again, daily, and at every Lord's service, to dispel every doubt, as Jesus did again and again with his apostles. "Whoever has faith and is baptized will be saved," said Jesus. Baptism, his gift, begets faith, and faith clings to baptism. So it's not really the absence of baptism which condemns a sinner, but the refusal of faith. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. It's unbelief, unfaith, which condemns. But Jesus desires always to bestow the gift of faith, and faith desires always the gift of baptism. How are we to see this? Jesus did it by going to his apostles who disbelieved and giving to them once again the gospel, sending them out then to baptize families. How is Jesus bestowing the gift of faith? By never assuming the gospel, even for us and our families, but calling us again and again back to the promise of baptism, and again to the table of his body and blood for the forgiveness of sin. And he is bestowing this gift of faith among us as he gives us never to assume the gospel, even among ourselves and in our families, but he gives us to continually build up one another in his grace, to daily speak to each other in the compassion and mercy of his gospel. In the name of Jesus, amen.